Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Oh, it's the opposite of Keeps Getting Better by Christina Aguilera.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's an understatement.
Well, hello, everybody. And welcome back to another episode of
Legends Only,
your weekly pop culture podcast where we talk about the importance of being registered to vote and that Black Lives Matter.
And that we stand in solidarity with, and we want to, as you said, issue the importance of registering to vote and that Black Lives Matter, and that, you know, it's been very difficult to care at all about pop music when heavier things are happening in the world. So I don't want to make it seem as though those things are trivial, and we just wanted to provide entertainment as we do every week, but it's something that I feel like we needed to address at the beginning of this because it's weighing heavy on me, and it's hard to, like, I don't care about pop music when these things are happening, but I still want to provide a little escapism. So
yeah, it's important to talk about.
Yeah. I know you and I both shared resources on social media. We have posted different links for donations and petitions and things, but I just wanted to get that out there before we started this because it's definitely uncomfortable to do anything that is, you know, sort of escapist when there are much more pressing issues in the world, but we still want to keep you entertained and distract you if you can because it's heavy. Sorry, I just had a vent really quick. But I think it's good to just little throw it in at the beginning.
Yeah, it's definitely like...
Right. Like, I don't want to just be like two white gays talking about Chromatica when the world is burning. So...
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it is so important for us, even though we have a small platform, we have a platform. And it's important to speak up and speak out.
Yeah, for sure.
And again, we will share that link below, and we also share it on our socials. There's a really great website that has everything all in one place. And I guess with that said, I can awkwardly shift a gear here. We also want to give a huge thank you to our supporters on patreon.com/legendsonly, our Legends Only fans. You guys got a little treat this week. I uploaded the full 2-hour birthday Twitch Power Hour for you guys to enjoy. That is the only place you can watch it now. I'm going to drop a few more little goodies in the coming days, but yeah.
Now that is a true treasure because that, you know, carried us all the way through. How many White Claws was it for you?
I don't even know.
I don't think anybody knows, but anyway.
I watched it back, yes. Me leaving, such a mess.
It was a true stunt queen move.
I can't. Yeah, so that was fun.
It sure was. Well, I guess we should kick things off this week with none other than our queen.
Yes, our queen is at it again.
Yes, it's time for 24/7 quarantine knee watch.
So our world is going through such hard times right now.
Coronavirus.
And we're all staying in.
Coronavirus.
And we're all staying in.
I burnt my gym down. So
coronavirus.
And we're all staying in.
One thing led to another and I burned it down.
Stream and or purchase Glory so that we can get it on the Billboard Hot 200. All right. Well, 2020 just threw another twist at us.
It did. And some might say that we are predicting everything that's happening in her career.
Because everyone's like, oh my God, your impact. I'm like, okay, it's really not, but...
Right. Like, it's a little much that I don't think we're the only ones who demanded justice for Mood Ring on iTunes and Spotify, but, you know.
Oh, no. Everyone's been doing it for 4 years.
Yeah. But anyway, if you haven't heard the news, Mood Ring from Glory, the Japanese bonus track, until this week only, has been released by demand by her label. This actually is your impact, though. And I'm being 100% serious because I believe By Demand is the spiritual sibling of Fan Demanded from RCA's sister act, Hilary Duff, which you did, in fact, demand for Sparks.
Okay, so to give a little background for the girls.
Oh, right.
If you didn't know, so there's this queen of pop. Her name is Hilary Duff, and she came out with a song called Sparks back in 2015, and the music video was just all spawn con for Tinder. So there was like no actual music video. It was just her on dates for Tinder. So me, I went on and I was like, you know,
it's gonna be so bad.
And I commented on the video and I said, please release a non-Tinder version, My Queen, which got thousands of thumbs up. And then lo and behold, like a week later, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Sparks Fan Demanded version was released. And I was like, oh, okay, work. So now Britney's team decided to put Mood Ring out, and in the title, in parentheses, that's what those are called, right? Those.
Yeah.
Okay. So just checking. Thanks, writer girl. By demand. So Sparks Fan Demanded version and Mood Ring By Demand are sisters officially.
Officially. I hate it. I just hate it. It feels so passive aggressive to be like, fine. Like, I'm sorry. This should have been on streaming the same week as everything else. There are no more, like, global barriers are a thing of the past with music. Like, aside from, like, a Target exclusive track, that shouldn't exist anymore.
No.
Like,
all songs should be out.
Yeah. So we demanded it because it should have been out in the first place. And now they probably feel like fools because it's been number one on iTunes for at least two days. And they've already gotten press from Billboard. They've done interviews with the songwriters. And they got, I believe, a quote from Britney. This is what happens when fans are really, really thirsty for anything from their queen, and they finally release. Now, I did see quite a few fans pretending this is a new single, which I'm like, relax. But
well, a lot of people actually did think it was a new single.
Yeah, because nobody knows. They didn't know about Glory. They're not going to know about Mood Ring.
Right.
As we learn every day, somebody new comes up to us to ask what Glory is, so our campaign never ends, but... Mood Ring obviously was for the diehards only who knew that there was a Japanese bonus track. And we've talked about it. We love it. And songwriter Melanie Fontana, don't know how I say it, shared two different versions on her Instagram Live the moment the song dropped. Because, you know, songs, they have a life till they get to their final form. And there was one that they offered to the Chainsmokers and one...
Which I would have stand as, of course, you know...
I believe the Chainsmoker said it was too girly or something.
Ew. What?
I know. So gay wrongs. And then and then there was the original Mustard version, which has a little bit more of a more beat than sort of like the ethereal final version.
It's just so good. And it's shocking that it's number one and for so long.
Yeah. You know.
And I really do hope they feel like clowns because join the club, first of all.
First of all, join the clown club.
Y'all want to see who the true clowns are? I mean, it just anyway.
I agree. They should feel like Boo Boo the Fool because, and once again, this is the barest minimum. It is very, very embarrassing that 4 years after an album, we get a superior album cover and a superior song that should have been there in the first place. It's like we are pulling teeth for them to do justice to a body of work that deserved it in the first place. It gets me
I just think it's so funny that they went the extra effort to type in by demand in parentheses, just... but it took you 4 years to just hit upload on an MP3. But you had to go so the extra, you though, had to go the extra step to be like space by demand.
I feel like in their head, they think that like the fans will appreciate that they got it by demand. But in my mind, it just looks passive aggressive to be like, fine.
Yeah.
Because demand.
We didn't want to do this, but here it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And also, I think it's funny that there's going to be so many people who don't listen to this podcast. They don't pay any attention at all to pop culture world, whatever. They're just on iTunes looking for new music.
There's a song at number one.
And they're like, oh my God, Britney Spears has a new song called Mood Ring by Demand. I love it.
Oh yeah.
And they're going to have no idea what that is.
And that, so some fans also believe that they've tried to incorporate lyrics from the song because she does say that phrase in the song, but sorry.
No, no, no.
That is wrong. That is just wrong.
It would
RCA,
be
they
demand.
They made the Glory cover fan demanded too. They're just, they love to demand. They make it seem like you had the bright idea. They should have had the idea.
Yeah.
I can't.
Wow. I just can't. But you know what? It's there. And now I don't have to open my like iTunes MP3 thing to listen
to it.
Yeah,
that's true. No YouTube, no iTunes MP3. It's a win. It's a long-awaited win, but...
I'm really interested to see what this does for Britney, because I feel like, and we've discussed her a lot, obviously.
Uh-huh.
I feel like she was kind of feeling like she was over it.
Yep.
Like, didn't really want to do this anymore. I'm very, very, very interested to see what her reaction is to this happening. If it's like wait a minute. Because she's been listening to a lot of new music. You hear it in her dance videos that she posts on Instagram. She's very up to speed. She posted Malibu from Kim Petras. She was listening to Noah Cyrus. So
and all
like,
of the TikTok trending songs.
Yeah, she knows Blinding Lights. So she's in with the girls. She knows what's happening. She knows.
She's a cool girl.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, she used to be a pretty cool chick. I think she's still that way. That's a deep cut quote. I'm really interested to see if this triggers something of an interest with her to be like, oh, I'm having these ideas, or if there's old songs that she wants to put out again. Like, I'm just very interested to see what this does.
Yeah, I mean, Lord knows she has a whole vault of songs that she's recorded for different albums that haven't made the cut.
Which
could always do.
Do we need to call those out now, since apparently we can manifest things? I think
true. There's like so many that still need justice for streaming.
Okay, so RCA, we're going to need you to do this next. Amnesia.mp3, Scary.mp3, Trouble.mp3, Quicksand, and StateOfGrace_demo.mp3, and StateOfGraceFinished.mp3. Thank you.
And of course... last but not least, apple pie.
Brad. No. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I had to.
The most anticipated, you know, honestly,
yes.
We laugh about it right now because it totally does not exist. But knowing how everything in life is going these days,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it did actually exist. So I can't laugh at it.
Just bring it on. I'm ready to...
It'll be blueberry pie. That's what it'll
She's
be.
She's like, let them eat pie. okay. Yeah, all that. And also Rebellion while we're at it. Somebody dig that up.
Oh, yeah. Rebellion. Oh, my God. Apple pie sponsored by DoorDash. Honestly, that would be in the
title.
Campaign's
right there. Like, there's a full campaign there.
Yeah, they would pair up with some company because they can't ever do anything without SponCon. And then
right,
put
they
it in
would
the
do
title.
Uber Eats.
Yeah.
Free apple pie with your order.
Yeah. 15% off Uber Eats. I can't. We laugh about it now.
I know.
It'll probably
at this
happen
point,
next
it's
week.
It's going to be manifested because we've said it too much. Anyway. Until then, please get all of those bonus tracks from various albums on streaming already. It's embarrassing that they're not, and we need justice for them. Yeah, there's a plethora.
Sure is.
But in other news, I think
anything else happening with Britney? She's just been strutting around, doing her looks, her poses, right?
Yeah, we've got more strut videos, more posing. I'm trying to think if there was a specific.
No, I mean mood rings.
It's really just the fans celebrating the chart victory.
Yeah,
we'd love to see it. And deservedly so, of course. So.
Well, you know, while Britney's twirling and spinning and showing off her fashions, I think you know what that calls for.
A what?
High fashion! So editorial.
Guys, this is awesome. This is a billboard. This is super high fashion.
Oh my God, that's so high fashion.
So high fashion.
Yes, everyone. Your favorite segment of the week. My favorite segment of the week. which, so did you catch in my power hour when I had the countdown going that I threw in this like original scene from Cheer?
Yes. No, I did. Okay. Absolutely.
It just like really made me giggle.
It was beautiful.
Yeah. It could have been so funny. I can't get over it. It's probably my favorite thing we've ever done.
It's really a theme song. Stroke of genius. Yes.
Anyway, but this week I do want to, you know, this is a place for legends. Okay. So last week I mentioned this new show. Well, it's not new. It's new-ish. Selling Sunset on Netflix. Did you watch it yet?
I have not. Oh. No, I need to.
It's really quick. It's like 30-minute episodes. But there's this queen. Her name is Christine Quinn. And she's on the show. She's a Britney fan. She references Britney all the time. And she is serving fashion through the whole season one, season two. You can see the Britney inspirations. It's just, she's my new obsession.
Gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, I was texting you because...
Room, you said?
She's like, there's one scene in season one where they're all like very serious and they're all like cheersing. And she's like, you know what? She's like Britney Spears once said, you better work, bitch. And they're all like, oh my God, yes, cheers, cheers, ladies. And then in season two, she's having a bachelorette party or engagement party or something. Mm-hmm. And she goes to the party planner and she's like, what do you want it to look like? And she's like, well, I want a live zebra. And she's like, why? And she's like, have you seen the video from Britney Spears? And then she just completely uses the boys' music video as inspiration for her engagement party. And they literally bring a live zebra. So problematic. And I was like... But anyway, I'm obsessed. It's such a good show. It's super quick. 8 episodes a season, 30 minutes an episode, no filler. Perfect for quarantine. And she's a Britney fan, so we, you know I stan a knockoff Britney, so.
Incredible.
She just needs a single.
Check that out on Netflix.
Yeah, not sponsored.
Not yet, yes.
It's fun. You know, I needed the laugh.
Exactly. I mean, I don't really know if I have a high fashion editorial for the week. I guess since we're not probably going to get to it before we do the main event, I will just give a shout out to Miss Jada Essence Hall's final look for the RuPaul's Drag Race finale of season 12, which aired over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, but it's all over social anyway, so sorry. But Miss Hall has taken the prize. I'm very happy. And I loved her final lip sync look with the final reveal. It was a bright orange look. And then she pulled up her, what do you call that, collar? And there was a crown.
It's a cape.
A cape?
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to be knowledgeable in fashion? I mean, we have a whole segment called High Fashion Editorial. You should know these things. Maybe do your research.
So... basically that was really cool and fun, and also shout out to Crystal's pinata look.
I just have to say, so I did catch up on Drag Race, by the way.
Yes,
Crystal's pinata moment where she was just sitting in that box, and also her doing Like a Bird, that lip sync. I won't spoil it. Like, just go on RuPaul's Drag Race Twitter account. They post everything. They Instagram everything.
Yeah, you can watch all the performances. And basically, that was like Sia's We Are Born era on LSD. That was a fever dream.
I laughed so hard. And it I have not so felt good. Joy like that in months. It was amazing.
Truly a stroke of genius. This is the best. I've enjoyed this season and this top three more than the past six or seven seasons. It's just been so enjoyable to me. So I hope that they all get to really, really get justice for themselves when we can go out again, because as we talked about, I just can't imagine watching yourself win Drag Race, get a bunch of texts, and then go to bed. It's like, Jesus Christ.
I think they will, though, because the next season would be filming right now, and I doubt that they are.
We're going to have to wait.
Yeah, so next year, Drag Race, like the cycles, are going to be delayed anyway, so I feel like this and the next All-Stars cast, they're going to, I feel like, have a longer moment.
Totally. Deservedly. I'm excited for that, for them. And also a big shout out to Miss Heidi in Closet for winning Miss Congeniality. That skit was art.
Everything.
And just her opening look, when she does an eye pop, I just laugh every time. She's so funny. You know what? I'm very happy with this double crowning of who got Congeniality and the win. And it's not like Gigi's going to be amazing. She has a huge following already. She's going to probably win in All Stars in the future. She'll be good. And
oh, I see what
Crystal,
you did there. Did you not even catch it?
Gigi
will be good.
Gigi will be good. Yes. Wow. My mind, it amazes me sometimes. And Crystal definitely sort of won the heart of the season, I feel. So she's got a big fan following and people really enjoy her. So she'll also be good. They're all three of them are going to shine from this.
Yeah. Know what I will also say as a little note?
What?
I have two things that I want to say. So as someone who worked on RuPaul's Drag Race, seasons three Correct. Through seven, you know, there's certain parts of the show that I feel kind of disappeared over time. And that was like the more crafty, like having the contestants actually make and build their own stuff and their own outfits. Like those were always my favorite challenges, especially
definitely a big complaint of later seasons.
Yeah. Like now they just kind of show up with looks and that's fine. It's still entertaining and stuff, but there was like that craftiness that kind of went away. And I will say that the way that they did this finale, there was something about having them all tasked with doing their own performance at home that was so exciting and unexpected to see. And I hope that they actually do something like that moving forward in the future, because it's kind of like Project Runway.
Staging the stage, like getting more creative control of what's on the stage would be cool rather than just their outfits even.
Right. And if they're going to do this thing where months go by before they crown someone, I feel like they should do like Project Runway does, where they have the final three or four or whatever it is. They send them home, they give them a big check, and they're like, here's like whatever thousands of dollars, make your own whatever collection or your own thing and come back with this concept and film your own music video. Like, I feel like that's a fun challenge because there's such a long time from when they finish filming to the finale that they really could come up with something.
Yeah.
I just thought it was exciting, and it kind of puts it on a more level playing field for everyone, if that makes sense, because I feel like so many drag queens can't go and afford these like insane $1,000 designer outfits. And I'm like, but you're still.
Yeah, that was a big appeal of the show, was that it was a little bit Project Runway and they had to improvise on the spot. And then it became who can show up with the best Louboutin shoes and Givenchy vintage outfit. And it's like, well, not everyone has access, and that kind of, it doesn't really make you a better drag queen because you have access. So I totally agree with you. I would love to get more DIY. And like some of my favorite challenges from the early seasons were like the dumpster dive and stuff.
The candy challenge,
like incorporating iconic, like small things into your look, like totally. So I hope maybe this inspired them to go back to basics.
I think it will, because the fans really loved it. I mean, I loved it, and I haven't watched as like religiously in the past few years, but I thought it was so entertaining.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
So.
And my second note, and then we'll get off this.
Oh, yeah.
Heidi and Alyssa Edwards, a show.
Oh, absolutely.
What do we think?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Alyssa's Closet.
Yeah. Alyssa and Closet.
Alyssa in the Closet. Absolutely. She is so, she's the most naturally funny.
Oh my God, it could be, sorry, I just had like a vision.
Raven vision.
Yeah, Alyssa N with the apostrophe or whatever it's called, and Heidi in a closet.
There it is.
And they're in a closet and it's the two of them. And it's like Alyssa's Secret meets, I don't know what, but just them talking about anything.
I totally agree with you. I think they're the most naturally funny and they can improvise and it would be perfect.
Yep. Pilot that. Go screen test it. Whoever's can make it happen. Free idea. You're welcome.
WoW Presents, just like have them quarantine together and shoot for 14 days.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what people are going to start doing, if they're going to start like quarantining casts of like reality shows or productions. I don't know.
That's a really good point. I mean, Big Brother basically is that. So
right.
They could totally do that.
I want to be on Summer House on Bravo.
We'll manifest that.
Yeah. But like actually though.
I'm sure we can make it happen.
It'll be me and Lindsay Hubbard as best friends. Sorry, this is a place for legends, but you know, sorry.
You've derailed.
Yeah. Completely derailed the conversation, but you know what? It's fine.
We reel it in. So fashion and congratulations to all the queens. And also shout out to Pantene for providing a better stimulus check than our government to all of the queens. $2,000 to each queen. It was like, oh.
Great. We'd love that.
We love to see it.
All right. Well, shall we switch from television to music?
Yes, that sounds right.
So some new music this week. We have a new Kygo album.
Yes, you have been waiting for this.
I have. You know, we're not going to do a little deep dive here in this moment, but we have to stan, even though he did take the album title from Kacey Musgraves, but we love a golden hour, so.
Right.
But yeah, check that out.
Yeah, and besides our main event, there is a new Mel C of Spice Girls song called Blame It On Me, which is really good. I feel like her stuff lately has been fantastic. I'm very into that. And we were dragged by maybe three fans.
What now?
For not mentioning last week, Miss Carly Rae Jepsen released Dedicated Side B and we didn't mention it.
We didn't. And it's 100% my fault. So blame me. So you can call me a clown. Drag me. It's not Brad's fault.
Blame it on you. Yeah. Elsie.
Blame it on me. Yeah, no, you can blame it on me 1,000% because I didn't listen until like a few days ago. The thing is, okay.
And the concept of listening to it is I didn't listen yet.
But like, so my whole thing, and this is like, this is just TMI. Well, it's not even TMI. I'm just going to say it. So my whole thing with new music is I always like to go on like a nighttime walk and listen to an entire album and like disconnect, turn my phone off, etc. Can't do that anymore. So
no.
I find myself like not finding times to fully listen to an album. So like I'll start it and then like I'll be home and work will come up or something comes up and then I stop and then I just switch and start listening to.
Yeah, no, I get it.
So my routine, which I feel like a lot of people can relate to, of like your morning commute, your nighttime commute, your weekend, like routines have just changed. So I keep forgetting to listen to new music.
It's fine. You're absolved of the sin, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not by the Jep stans who came for us, but now we're in it.
Well, I feel like, you know, maybe Dedicated needs a dedicated moment. How about that?
Oh.
But I will say, is. My favorite track on the album is Comeback.
Yeah, that's a solid banger with Bleachers, aka Jack Antonoff, who works regularly with all the girls.
Really? That makes sense why it's good then.
Yeah.
I don't like that it fades out.
A little note for Jack.
Right? It fades out, right? Or is it just, is that my Spotify? Or okay, I was like, okay, like why are you, I can still hear you. Can you come back? Like,
where
like volume up. Where you go? Literally, I'm like, where are you going? Get back here. Get her ass back here, Andy.
I understand your concern. I do not have the same concern. But I get it. I like Comeback. I like Fake Mona Lisa. Obviously, that is a clear attack on Britney.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
What else? I think Stay Away. I think it is a nice little accompaniment to the album, and it's further proof that she probably has 200 perfectly good songs that should just all come out, along with her dead and buried disco album, Disco Sweat, which she needs to just...
Every month, she should just release a new Dedicated Side C.
Have you guys listened to Dedicated Side L yet?
Wouldn't it be funny if she just put out a random letter, like side whatever?
She should. She totally could, too. She has so many. So
CRJ8.
Yeah. Kudos to Carly for being consistent as a synth pop queen. And yeah, get into side B. So I think that's about it for the new music on my end. I mean, I do have also my queen Utada just put out a new song that I stan very much as well. Darinimo Iwanai, which is in Japanese. And it's like about basically having a fling. So, you know, very scandalous.
Love
and,
that.
And we love that. And what else did came out? I guess that's kind of everything. Well, oh, we didn't mention Tovlo also re-released her album. Maybe we did mention it. There's a song with Max Martin called Sadder, Badder, Cooler. That's the title of the new
single. I did not know this.
That's a banger, but like a mid-tempo banger. And her cover of I'm Coming, which is like one of my favorite songs of the year, her cover of it is finally on the album. So Sunshine Kitty, the fan-demanded Paw Prince edition, is out now.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Oh, is it Vroom Vroom? I'm going to have to look that one up.
Oh my God. That TikTok that I sent you of the Let's Ride. I can't.
Oh my God.
I can't. That Charlie XCX clip is still so funny to me. I need it's to put amazing. It on the I might have to put it on the soundboard.
I think it's at this point becoming a popular thing that we keep.
I'll have to look it up.
I'll have to look that one up.
Basically me. Every time you mention one of your faves, I'm like, oh, who's that? Oh, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Oh God. Anyway, let's move on to the main event.
Oh yes. All right. Shall we pack our bags, girls? Get ready to fly.
Ladies, we are taking off past Venus to the land known as Chromatica.
My Stephanie Jeromato.
Well, we've only been talking about it every single week since we started this podcast, but LG6 is here.
She has arrived.
She has arrived, and she's beautiful.
You know, I have to say something before we get into this album. I have been very critical of our Stephanie in recent years. I'm not going to lie. I can't hide from it. I can't take it back. It was what it was. I loved making fun of the little monsters and, you know, poking and prodding because, you know, mm-hmm. we love our stan culture. And I was a little hard on Miss Stephanie. I have to say, this album, and we'll discuss more, is fucking fantastic. It is a return to form. Sonically is incredible. The production is incredible. And I have to give it to her. This is so cohesive. The marketing, the branding, the concept, the photography, the album cover, the posters, the typography, everything about this is fucking amazing and is everything that I love about pop music and this fantasy and her creating this alternate universe, which ironically just happens to be so fitting for real life right now. Yeah. And this idea of like packing your bags and going to Chromatica because everything here is awful is like just ironically very fitting, but I just have to give it to her. And that's just what I need to start this conversation by saying. I feel like I need to clear and forgive, or not forgive, ask for forgiveness for all of my criticism of our Miss Joanne, Stephanie Jeromato. She really fucking did that with this.
Wow, that was quite a confessional. And
Well, because I used to stand so hard. And she lost me.
No, I know. We've gone on this. Yeah, you lost me. Oh, teaser of things to come. Anyway.
And there are tweets where I was like, flop, like at Lady Gaga. So like, I can't.
No, I know. So I feel like this is a good time to, you know, rebuke and to come back to, you know.
Back to
come
me.
Back to the light. Back to you. And here we are in Chromatica. And I think everything you said is how I feel about this being a solid pop era, the typography to the music, to the visuals. Everything just clicks. The only thing I wish, based on the first two videos, this could have easily been a visual album. And who knows, maybe she thought it was going to be. We don't know. But easily, this could have been one less than an hour video.
Oh, it could be a whole movie journey.
Totally. And I almost feel like it might have, there might have been an early concept to do it, because the two videos are not very different if they're like, as far as straight on choreography. So she could have had like cool little interludes and then go into the dancing. But I think this is totally a very visual album. And yeah, let's just dive into it. Starting with Chromatica 1. Yes. Yeah, I'll say. Yes. And shout out to Morgan Kibbe, aka White Sea, for co-crafting the strings with Gaga. This is a cinematic moment. This is, you know, I enjoy. Now, we, well, in our predictions, we thought that she was going to be talking to us. She's not doing that.
Nope.
But I love adding some breathers to the album with the interludes. And this is a very dramatic opening.
I feel like we need like a dramatic string intro for our podcast.
Oh, we should definitely have Chromatica 4.
I don't know how to play that instrument or like whatever, but.
Well, I could definitely
like vocalize it.
That sounded like Till the World Ends orchestral version. Oh my God, Roman's Revenge piano violin strings version.
Oh my God, it's like the whatchamacallit, the Ashley Tisdale interlude that's not on streaming.
A All thousand right. Duffs.
A thousand.
Oh my God, that would be our
Yeah. Oh. There's so many. I could. All right, we need to stop.
Okay, we need to stop.
I'm not a vocal producer, okay? I want to be, but one day.
You will be soon enough.
Yeah, anyway, that was our Chromatica interlude, okay?
Oh, yeah. Just remix that. Add a little filter. We'll do a little.
It's stunning. And I will say, I was kind of going into this album and I was like, she's going to give us some like ridiculous, you know, 45-minute interlude here. No, it's very simple. It is just a gorgeous string. It's amazing. Like, it really takes you into the experience.
And the way that it drops you into Alice is perfect. Right? I love it. Yes. Alice off the top, like from the beginning, is a standout for me. I am obsessed with Alice.
Now, why? I'm so confused. Like, who is Alice and why did anyone ever confuse her with Alice? Like, I'm like, wait, what?
Well, it's based off of Alice in Wonderland.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on one second. Oh my God. Like the cartoon.
Yeah.
The blonde
yeah,
girl.
Like the classic tale of Alice in Wonderland. She's saying, my name isn't Alice, but I'm still looking for Wonderland, basically.
Oh, okay.
My dog is so mad at you right now for even not getting that.
Well, I was confused because of Joanne. So I was like, okay, who is, I know who Joanne.
To be fair, she does.
She does. She does. I'm like, who is Alice? Right. So I thought like,
I was just getting to know Joanne. Who's Alice?
Yeah, that's what I was literally thinking. I'm like, okay, so Joanne.
Oh my God, I'm moving away from this anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, Alice kicks it off with a trip into searching for Wonderland.
Got it. Okay, that makes more sense because I was like, oh no, not another Joanne.
Surprise, it's another aunt.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was literally like, oh, okay. All right, so it's a little, isn't Alice the one with the Mad Hatter?
Yep.
Okay. So is she Disney?
She, yes. Yes.
I don't know. All I know is there's that one Real Housewives commercial where they based it off of Alice in Wonderland. That's the extent of what I know.
Right. That is right. Yes. Alice in Wonderland is not quite a rare reference, but you know what? It's a classic.
It's so good.
It's, and then I remember it had that Tim Burton version of it, like a darker version of it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was Disney, and then it was Tim Burton. And then it was that cool video, the PC game.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts or something?
No, that's Kingdom Hearts. But there was a game, Alice, that was like twisted version of it. That was really cool.
Well, don't call her Alice.
But anyway, and probably she was, she's since she's a gamer
icon,
and she makes so many
somebody
references.
That you think about all the time?
I can't. Anyway, Alice is amazing. This is a very comprehensive review of the song. It's amazing.
Yeah, basically start there. Well, you have no choice but to start there. It's the beginning.
Right. And honestly, if we're talking about the visuals, this could have easily been right up her alley. It's just literally do Alice in Wonderland Gaga version.
Yeah.
Oh, God, things that could still be. We never know.
You can make things in 3D. You never know. She could do like an AR thing.
Yeah.
There's socially distant ways to do it.
There are. Then we, of course, move into Stupid Love, which we have discussed at nauseam.
Still love it. Everyone was saying, they're like, oh, I can't believe like Stupid Love, the worst song on the album. And I'm like, what? Why does everyone hate it? I love it.
I don't know why they hate it. I think it's fun. It's good. I enjoy it. And I think it makes sense as one of the singles, in my opinion. Although I need like several new singles now. But yeah, Tried and True, Stupid Love, then into Rain on Me, which we've also discussed ad nauseum.
So good.
With our little Ariana. And then we move on to Free Woman, which leaked like very early on, although I know you did not listen.
I did not. I was like, you know what? I don't care enough to listen to leaks. It's yeah. also just a pain in the ass trying to find them. So it's so much easier just to wait for it to be on my Spotify.
Exactly. No, it's good that you waited. And because I had like slight demo-itis, which is when you like fall in love with the first version that you've heard, because it's different.
Like with Blackout, it's like the demos, some of them are better.
Oh, exactly. Like with Blackout.
Or with Rebel Heart from Madonna.
Even though like some of them were objectively better, like Break the Ice Breakdown and all of that.
Right.
But yeah, Free Woman.
I love this one. It kind of reminds me of, this could also have a music video, because I feel like she's talking about her early days in New York.
Yes.
And it could have such a good, you know, the city downtown on Chromatica. It could be a New York Chromatica hybrid. And she's free. She doesn't need a man. She owns the city. Ugh.
Totally. She talked about it in her hour-long Zane Lowe interview. And she actually said that it kind of came from, she said, I was sexually assaulted by a music producer, and it's compounded all my feelings about life and the industry and what I had to compromise. And then I was finally like, you know what? I'm not nothing without a steady hand. I'm not nothing unless I know I can. I'm not going to define myself as a survivor or victim. I'm just a person that is free who went through some fucked up shit. That's what she said. And you can kind of feel that kind of catharsis in the song. It's very free.
It's very empowering. You
know, empowering in a way that I think I said this with Rihanna. Oh, God. Puberty.
See, you're kind of lucky that your mic cuts out all the time because you couldn't hear that one. You got lucky.
I feel like she, in the way that I thought that some of the empowerment was a little clunky on Born This Way, for me personally, don't kill me.
I agree with that. It's
a little more believable, not believable, but just like I can get into this fantasy a little more of feeling empowered by this song.
Well, it feels like she's in such a better place.
That for sure. And it just feels a little more effortless. It doesn't feel like she's trying to be too serious or too, like these lyrics kind of feel like they flowed from her a little.
Right.
Less.
Like it feels fully liberated.
Totally. So we stand, and also it reminds me of Madonna, but like not in a way. A lot of this reminds me of Madonna, I should say, in a way that is like not a bite, but merely because she made an early 90s, mid-90s dance house album. Inevitably, that is an era that Madonna dominated, and it's going to sound like Madonna. It's also going to sound like LaBouche and like all these other like club acts and sounds. And so
it's done
I don't
in a
think
way
that
is smart. And creative.
Yeah.
Like it's the influences are there. It's not a direct ripoff of anything. It's such a good homage to that era of music.
Totally. So when I say it sounds like Madonna, it's a compliment. And I'm so beyond like any little Madonster or Madonna fan who is trying to be like, she's ripping off. It's so tired.
This album really made it clear.
Yeah.
Didn't she just talk with, what's his name? There was an interview that was out on Twitter where she was talking about how she hung out with Madonna recently.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I...
Yeah, she told some kind of story about how she hung out with Madonna and they were trying to get Taco Bell. I'll find it and insert it in here.
And actually, I went to go hang out with Madonna at her manager's house. And I got to the house and I was just chilling with Madonna while like all these security guards were like... just side-eyeing me from, you know, every corner of the room. And every time I hugged someone, they would, like get a little closer to make sure it was still on. And then I left, and I really wanted to go to Taco Bell, so we were trying to go to Taco Bell. And then all of a sudden, the car got pulled over by Tiffany's security, and it was very politely removed from my neck.
So then someone tweeted it. They clipped that, and they were like, everyone, like, the feud is over. This is done. Like, stop. And I'm like, thank you. Like, I'm sick.
Yeah, exactly.
This is so tired. Like, yes, the whole Born This Way, Express Yourself thing was a moment.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it kind of, it was what it was, but we've moved past that.
Exactly. And I think this album, although several albums deep, she's made it clear, like, Gaga is not Madonna and doesn't, she has her own sound.
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear what she does now. This is her gig. It's a different gig. It's just, they might be two Italian girls in New York City or whatever, but if you're making those comparisons in a negative way, I just feel like you're like out of touch at this point.
Right. Like, it's just so tired and it's so boring.
Yeah.
And
so boring.
Yeah.
Moving on. A song called Fun Tonight, which is about,
what's that like?
You know, not having fun. Which I have to stand the message of that song.
Right? Because relatable. I can't remember the last time I had fun in life.
No, exactly.
Actually, no, that's a lie. Like, I can.
She didn't mean to. But I loved, there were some references in here. She says, you love the paparazzi, love the fame, even though you know it causes me pain. And I was like, oh, a little throwback to her first version of herself that we met her with. She also says, I feel like I'm in a prison hell and stick my hands through the steel bars and yell. Very quarantine feelings. So yeah, I feel like this was an accidental quarantine anthem. So this also, in her interview, she said that this song meant a lot to her about how the people in her life tried to get her to smile and she just wasn't there. I feel like that's the thesis of this album, is she made an album of dance music against her wishes and desires because she knew she needed the joy of it. She basically was like, I was in a depressed place, but I was making fun music almost as though I had to convince myself to shake it off, basically.
Right.
And which, I feel like this is such, which is
a relatable,
so
relatable experience too. Like, I mean, it's kind of like when we do this podcast, it's like shaking things off to like make things creatively to stay. I mean, it's always been like my lifeline is trying to be creative and trying to do something funny. And so I thought it was cool that she revealed that and was vulnerable about that.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's kind of the whole point of this album, is like, she got back to basics because she said like Joanne did not heal her relationship with her father, didn't fix her father. And that was like a failed attempt. And not that she hates the album, but she just realized like that didn't work the way she thought it would. And I feel like this is so much more successful in that mission of making happy music to snap yourself out of it, even if it goes against everything you're feeling right now, and also being honest with the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I feel like above all, the message of Fun Tonight is solid. Then we move on and we get Chromatica 2, which also slaps.
Yeah. Another beautiful interlude.
It is. So we get a little transition and we go into another favorite of mine on the album.
And this transition is having all the girls going crazy.
It's perfect.
It is really perfect.
So this is 911, not a cover of Britney's Unreleased, but an original about the medicine that she takes. It's about an antipsychotic that she takes. And one of my favorite hooks of this album for sure is My Biggest Enemy Is Me, Papa 911. Like, that is in my head all the time.
It's really a vulnerable track.
It is. She basically is like opening up about anxiety and everything that's going on in her head. But the song is very electropop, robopop, really.
Mm-hmm.
It actually reminds me, for my J-pop stands, of the group Perfume, slightly like kind of pico-pop-ish, but very like techno. Anyway, another highlight for me. And Okay, we move on to Plastic Doll.
So good.
You know, obviously she had original doll in her mind, similar concept.
Kind of.
Honestly, yeah, basically something that she's talked about before of not being the generic or a plastic doll, feelings about the industry, things like that. It is original doll. It's Mannequin, Brittany.
Yeah.
I love this song as well, actually.
It kind of reminds me of the visuals she did in Bad Romance, how she was playing that kind of like character in front of all those men.
Oh, right.
And so like when I was listening to the album and she's saying like Plastic Doll or whatever, I just got the visual of that kind of music video. I don't know why it popped in my head, but that's been a theme that she's kind of talked about throughout her entire career, is like the fame. And then,
yeah, it's cool because she's like, I fit that. Am I your type now? Like, mm-hmm. I've got blonde hair and hairy lips.
Right.
You know, the more I go through the lyrics, the more I'm like, this is maybe your lyrically your best because you're hitting.
I was going to save it for the end, but that's what, yeah, I was going to say.
I feel like I've seen a lot of like people mocking the lyrics, but I'm like, I think this is the perfect blend of Gaga-isms and truth.
Yeah.
And honesty.
It's a perfect blend of both. Like, we're actually seeing, I feel, an authentic, genuine, raw, vulnerable Gaga that is completely genuine and does not feel forced and is just raw and real. And there's so many similar sounds and subtle sounds where I'm like, oh, that reminds me of the Fame or the Fame Monster. And
totally, she throws in umamas and like all the very, you know, poker face isms. She's honoring that legacy.
Mm-hmm.
It's her now. Now she has a sound. Like, more than ever, I was thinking of this like, oh, okay, this is a Gaga sound. This is Born This Way. This sounds like Electric Chapel. Like, this, I can really tell that she has her own sound now.
Yeah.
So moving on. So Sour Candy. So we move on to what was my most highly anticipated song, which is Sour Candy with Blackpink.
Did it deliver for you? Oh.
So I enjoy it a lot. I do. I do think it's more of a Blackpink song than a Gaga song. I feel like they're in it more, which I don't mind at all, but I do find it kind of strange that I feel like they mostly dominate the song.
They do.
Yeah.
But not in a bad way.
No. Obviously, I love them. And I think it's addicting. I think it's a really replayable song. I have to get over my old ass preconception about like how long a pop song should be, because 2 minutes 38 seconds for a song is just, it felt more like an interlude than a full song. I needed another verse or another chorus, or it goes by fast for me.
It does go fast.
And I thought to have this massive girl group and just kind of, I mean, that's five people on a song in 2 minutes. It's a little too short for me. And so I thought it was slightly a missed opportunity, but I also think it's really fun. Definitely the most escapist track, I think, on... Oh, God, poor puberty.
Are you choking on some sour candy?
Basically, you know, this is just a fun escapist pop song.
Can I say something here? And I don't know if this is correct or if anyone else agrees with me, but okay. I feel like Britney could be on this song.
Oh.
Not that I don't it like might... Blackpink on it, but I was like, oh, Britney could jump on a verse here.
I also, it's probably because of the track length. For some reason, Shattered Glass came to mind. Just that sort of like really hectic, like ends too quickly kind of vibe is kind of how I feel about Sour Candy. I'm like, this is really interesting. I wish this was more fully fleshed out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still love it. I think it's good. I'm glad that Blackpink got their shine. And I know that the song was doing really well on streaming and everything. She released it a day before the album. So I'm very happy for them. I need them to now drop their album, but that's a whole other thing. So Sour Candy. And then we go into the title of her long-running Las Vegas residency, Enigma.
I have to say, I was not expecting a lot from this. I was kind of like, oh, that one's going to be... I mean, we said it. You know, I've said what I said on this podcast. I can't walk it back.
Uh-huh.
I was kind of like, oh, is this going to be... like, whatever. This was shockingly amazing.
Yeah. I needed to like let it marinate for a minute, but that
same
chorus, I don't know if it, what does it remind me of? Maybe Cher or Elton John or something. Very that, the drama of it. We could be lovers, even just tonight. Yeah. I think it also reminds me of the actual title song Art Pop, not sonically so much, but just that whole like, my art pop can be anything, I'll be your enigma. This is her kind of next version of that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, we could be anything you want. I'll be your art pop. I'll be your enigma.
Yeah, it's like an upgraded art pop.
Yeah. So we love to see it. And then we move on to Replay. Sadly, not the Eaz song. But Replay snapped.
Right?
Yeah.
At first listen, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know. And then I went back to it and I was like, oh.
A few things to say. For some reason, this actually reminds me of Americano a little bit on Born This Way.
Ooh.
That's sort of like, it kind of feels like there's like a party happening or something on the track. Just kind of like the cyclical, I don't even know how to describe it. I just kind of feel Americano. The outro, when she says your monsters torture me, I was sure that she said little monsters torture me. And I was like, finally, you can say that you hate your fans.
Right?
I love that.
We're all like listening. We're like, same.
Yeah.
Same Stephanie. They torture us too. They called us clowns. They told me that my fave can't sing. They told me that my fave can't dance anymore. They torture me too, Stephanie.
Oh my God.
And we torture them. No, I'm kidding.
I'm obsessed with it.
It's so smart. I mean, she knows what she's doing.
She does. This is I'm assuming the monster is like trauma inside of her. And it's like, in my opinion, this is such a personal album, oddly, that could go track to track and you wouldn't really notice it if you weren't paying attention.
I feel like they all kind of flow into each other too. Like you can listen to this start to finish and it's an experience.
Agreed.
It's not like Confessions on a Dance Floor where the actual beats kind of blend into each other, but it is a flow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we can talk about the fact I saw a lot of very brave comparisons on the timeline, but I don't even want to discredit it. But I saw people saying it's her Blackout, it's her Confessions. And I don't love to jump to those conclusions yet for a new album because everyone's always way too hyped and excited. But there's something to be said about, I don't think she has an album that is as start to finish as this.
I agree with that.
You just can go. You can just hit
play.
Yeah. And you don't have the peaks and valleys of mid tempos and ballads at all. It's just a full dance record.
No.
So I can see why you get.
Next part of the album, I think, as of right now, as I'm recording this, is my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, I can definitely would not disagree.
It is Chromatica 3.
Chromatica 3
into Sign From Above.
What the other girls couldn't do.
Now there is, for the gamers out there, there's a few of you. I kind of hear a little bit of the Animal Crossing theme song in Chromatica 3, the horn.
Oh my God.
Like that. Someone out there, please tell me that you hear it too. There's like a hint of it. And I obviously it's not. I don't know. Maybe she did put the Animal Crossing horn.
She added Spotify descriptions to the interlude.
Oh.
And she said, I believe this music is an expression of the understanding that in life things will be hard, but many hard things are followed by revelations.
Mm.
So that was her Chromatica 3 snap. And then we get into what I think is the most surprising song on the album.
I also agree with that statement that you just made.
When I saw there was an Elton John feature, I said, oh, okay, cool. A ballad that I will skip.
Wow. The disrespect to a legend.
Right.
I say that as like, I mean, I can't name like a single Elton John song. Should I just confess that now?
Canceled.
I know Candle in the Wind.
There you go. By the little Eltons, canceled. I did not expect her to give Miss Elton a bottle of poppers and say, we're going to the dance floor, because this is one of the weirdest songs and coolest productions on the album.
Agreed. Another standout for me. It's in my top three on the album.
Definitely. This one, I feel like, wouldn't work as well like at the club per se, but it's like a mighty dance record. It just takes a while to build and it tells a story. and it's very epic, in my opinion. I just think it's like...
It's so epic. The way that it's... You have to start at Chromatica 3. So turn off random shuffle, turn off crossfade, turn off all of those things, and just start at Chromatica 3. It will swoop you into Sign from Above, and you will go on a journey sonically, and it is fantastic.
Right. And so to clarify, Sign, S-I-N-E...
Yeah, what does that mean?
Gaga said in her Apple Music interview that it's because it's a sound wave, and the sound from above is what healed her to dance out of the album, that she was like, let me pay tribute to the thing that has revived me, and that is music.
See, so, I love that.
Me too. And it's exactly kind of what the thesis of the album is, which is like, she's just kind of preying on that music to pull her out of her depression, which is super relatable. I think this is an epic song, and I think the Elton feature is just so surprising. He validates it by, you know, it's a legend on legend moment, but it also makes him more current than ever. You know, he sounds great on the song, in my opinion, and Gaga's just brought him into 2020. Like,
yeah.
I wish it was Cher because I'm selfish, but.
Oh my God, could you imagine? All three of them.
Imagine?
This is a place for legends, okay?
But, you know, of that sort of standing in pop culture, I would love. You know, I want more like legend features that are like this, where it's like they sound current. They sound, you know, I don't want a stripped down piano ballad with a legend. I want like, it sounds like Elton is on the dance floor.
Yeah,
like,
the two of them packed their bags. They went to Chromatica and made a new sound.
Yeah. And then the outro is insane. She decides to veer into drum and bass, like UK sound. That is so cool. It just the last 40 seconds or so of it.
It's so visual too. Like, I feel like if you can take a moment to escape for a second and just kind of, you know, immerse yourself in the music, it pulls you, the way that Chromatica 3 drops you into the song, the outro sucks you out of it and throws you into the next track. It's just so rich and smart and good.
Yeah, it really is. It really, they nailed it with this one, and in thinking about the whole body of work and not just the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we tumble into, there could be 999 doves in a room, but you just need one.
Problematic animal rights.
Yeah, that's true. That's too many doves in a room. But 1,000 doves.
This is my favorite song on the album.
I am obsessed with this song.
It is so, now I'm from New Jersey.
Heard of it.
So, heard of it. This is so infused with 90s house. Like, I feel like I'm on the dance floor at Paradise in Asbury Park, which, you know, because sometimes the girls in Jersey, they're a little behind. They still play the 90s beats, and I fucking stan. This is that. It is so perfect. Oh, it just takes me to, I can't even put like a paint a picture for everyone. It's just like Jersey 2020 pop gay Gaga perfection.
It's a beautiful song. The message is beautiful too.
The lyrics, the emotions. Yeah. This is emo electronic. You guys know I've been screaming this since the beginning of our podcast. That's my favorite, is emo electronic. What's that called? It's like emotron. Is that the term for it now?
Sure. Emotronic.
Yeah. My playlist is titled Emotional Tit Shakers. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
And that's what this is.
That is absolutely what this is. Super catchy too. Just every, I have 1,000, like that part. And there's also a piano version of it. And
I saw that.
Yeah, that's the bonus Target exclusive among them. There's also a song called Love Me Right and two Stupid Love remixes. But
I haven't heard those yet.
Yeah, this is definitely a highlight for me too.
Yeah, my top three are Alice, Sign from Above, and 1,000 Doves.
Oh, that's like a solid list. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say the same. I really do love 911, but yeah, I agree. Actually, we're getting into one that probably might be in the top three.
Oh, really?
Possibly Some Days. I'm still, you know, I'm still marinating, but we're going to end off with a bang, Babylon.
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 Yeah, Babylon. Okay, so I'm going to say something here and you're going to hate me for it and probably hang up.
Oh.
This is giving me Countess Luann Feeling Giovanni tease. And I say that as a compliment.
That is a high compliment. I mean, for me, this song, I know I just gave my spiel, but she said, oh, I ripped off Express Yourself or Born This Way. Now watch me do Vogue.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even.
Extremely Vogue. Babylon. Like, strut
okay,
it out.
I hear it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Strut it out. Yeah, this is very Madonna-ish.
Super Madonna.
But so Gaga.
Yes. Oh, because it,
fashion.
The lyrics are so funny, but like not like making fun of her, but like
no.
Serve it to me ancient city style. We can party like it's BC.
Well, isn't that what Babylon is? Isn't that like a place?
Yeah.
I'm going to. So it's like. I've already sounds stupid this entire episode. I probably should shut up.
The ancient city of Babylon. Yeah. So she's talking about the ancient city.
Is it real?
City, so it's. Yeah.
Oh, like actually?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's referenced. Yeah. It's real, but it's also like referenced in the Bible. So it's like. Sort of like this religious sort of imagery as well. But basically, this is about gossip. And there's also a lot of references to the actual biblical story of Babylon and the Tower of Babel that I still haven't fully dived into. But she also shouts out Blood Pop.
Blood Pop is all over the album, right?
Yeah, he is. And I don't know how deeply she is. You know, I'm assuming this is all the reference, but like basically the story of Babel, like the Tower of Babel, is that the citizens were like God changed their language. So they created, and this is from the Genius annotations, by the way. So I'm not sure how valid it is, but God changed their language, creating chaos and miscommunication. Therefore, Gaga is kind of like taking that story and putting it into the song of contextualizing gossip as an evil thing and also dysfunctional form of communication. That's somebody's interpretation of it. I don't know how deep she actually went with it, but it would make sense because the story is about how God changed their language. So, and the song's about talking it out, babbling on. But in any case, it's a good song.
Oh, is it like a play off the words? Like babble?
Yeah.
Babble on?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. So I've learned so much today. I learned that Alice was about Alice in Wonderland, what sign means, and what Babylon means.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And now I just love it even more because I'm like, oh, it's even smarter than I thought.
It is.
Wow.
So.
And that is Chromatica.
That is Chromatica, except if you bought the Target exclusive edition, you got a few more tracks to go, but... You know, as far as streaming, unless a Thousand Doves piano version by demand shows up on streaming next week, which it should, that is the album. Now, I am just thoroughly impressed with it. I feel like this is a successful album. This is, it at times indirectly speaks to what we're all going through right now, but ultimately it's dance floor escapism that was always needed to begin with, more so now than ever. Except for the fact that we can't go out. But I just think she nailed being herself and calling back herself and what we loved about her in the first place. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I think this album is amazing. And there's so many sounds that I love. And I think it's so smart what she did. And I am so excited for the first time in a really long time to see what she does with this album. I feel like she's so creative and she's so smart that her, of all people, will figure out something to do with this whole quarantine situation. And she's a gamer. And so I'm just excited to see how she takes this album experience and transforms it into the next stage of shows and like concerts and performances, et cetera, et cetera. I just think she, of all people, being such a tech nerd, will just really put out something that's fucking cool and really innovative, I feel like. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I feel like the Chromatica Ball, what it was going to be, now she has even more time to conceptualize it and can make it even bigger because you can go crazy with this concept, obviously.
Oh,
crash land into a planet.
There was that the video that someone posted, I think it was it Skrillex or Blood Pop? Someone posted like an artist made a 3D rendering of like this robot woman that had the Chromatica label stamped in her arm. And it was like this insane 3D rendering. And I was like, wait, is that something for like a concert, like a live show or something? I don't know. But the possibilities are endless.
I mean, they are endless, and I think once you can bring this live.
The Break the Ice music video, the anime cartoon. Anything is possible.
Exactly. That's what we're going to get from Rest. Well, I think it is a truly successful album, mm-hmm. and I think it manages to be fun and escapist and also offer deeper meanings if you want to dive into the meanings of the lyrics, if you know. And that kind of makes, for me, it actually reminds me more of, because we had just been talking about it, Khalees Flesh Tone, because from a distance, that is also a very escapist dance record, but mm-hmm. then it was, in fact, very personal and empowering and, you know, about motherhood and everything. So
that's
for me, it actually
comparison.
Reminds me more of that. It's got the interludes too.
Yeah.
So
also know what I was thinking too, and this is another free idea. This album would also work, and this isn't as like a not a diss to the lyrics, because I love the lyrics, especially Thousand Doves. Like right now, the visual of like just nudge me up and like lift me up a little bit because I have broken arms and I just want to fly like a thousand doves. I was like sobbing the other day listening to the song, and I was like, that's what I need.
I know, it's very good.
But you could take Chromatica and you could strip all of the vocals out of it. And from start to finish, it is such a beautiful instrumental album as well.
Yeah, it is.
She could do that. And I feel like...
it is. I really love all of the 90s references.
Oh, it's so good. And that Chromatica Spotify playlist is phenomenal as well. Like, they really did that.
Yeah, if you didn't know, she made a Welcome to Chromatica playlist, and I also like that she sort of laid her cards down from the very beginning and was like,
right?
This is what inspired it. Like, we don't have to play the game of, oh my God, she ripped off Madonna. She ripped off like this club classic. It's like, no.
And all of that got shut down so fast.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Everyone was pulling up Swish Swish. And I'm like, it's not Swish.
Yeah, we didn't
like,
mention
no.
that during Sour Candy. It's
Which
not
is
Swish
fine.
Swish. It's all... You know, there's a Maya Jane Coles song that Zara Larsson and Swish Swish and like this one are all reminiscent of. And then, but it also goes back to just like the Korg keyboard and the organ sound that was so prevalent in all of 90s like club music.
Yeah.
And Robin S's Show Me Love. And like it goes back to that. It goes back to that whole instrument and sound. And it's just, I think the cool thing about it, somebody said once, if you can't specifically call out the song that it's ripping off, if everyone's arguing about which song it rips off, that's a sign of a successful song, because
I agree.
I think that's what this album is. It's like you can scream about this one's a little Madonna Vogue, this one's a little Swish Swish, but it's not a direct rip off of anything.
Nope. It's kind of like speaking of Glory, since we like to do that on this podcast, Hard to Forget Ya was like that for me.
Which one?
Hard to Forget Ya.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
oh,
this kind of gives me Mandy Moore Candy, but also Smash
right.
Mouth,
everyone,
All-Star.
Yeah, everyone,
I'm like, what is
disagreed
it?
Disagreed on what it reminded them of.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like you're taking these sonic hints of things. And it's like, ooh.
I totally agree. So I think this is probably her most realized project
cohesive,
yet.
Smartest.
Yeah. I think... And that's like as an album as a whole. I think she obviously has bigger anthems like Bad Romance, bigger top 40 pop anthems. But as far as like a full project, I think this is one of her strongest.
Agreed.
It'll be interesting to see how Stephanie. It stands the test of time.
I think it could hold up.
I think so too, especially because she doesn't make any effort to sound current. It's already
what is. I mean, what is current anymore? It's like... Oh. I mean, it's freaking June already. I'm like, what day is it? What is even anything?
True.
I also feel like she could do, and I'm giving away too many free ideas on this podcast today, but it's fine.
What?
She could do, like you said, a full visual experience of this, and it could live as a moment.
I totally agree with you. Oh, sorry. A dog is running through my yard. That is not mine. But, you know, that's fine. We give Chromatica, well, we don't have a rating system.
10 out of 10 for me.
I don't really have complaints, so I guess
nope.
Same, because I don't know. I need to...
I fully escaped into the Chromatica fantasy. I was happy there, and I enjoyed it, and I have found myself going back for more, and I want more.
Yeah, I'm really excited to like run to it, to just like dance to it one day at the club. I am very...
A thousand gays. That's going to be us at Posh the first time we're allowed to go back out.
Literally.
Play a thousand dubs. Play Back to Me. It came out 3 years ago.
Yeah, right.
God, it's going to be like us in 2023.
Don't even say it. Don't speak it into existence.
Take us back to Chromatica. We want to go back to 2020. Said no one ever. But like... anyway.
No, yeah, exactly. This is like Dua's album. This is like one brief moment of taking us completely out of our world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very appreciative of it. Very appreciative of Gaga and all the work that she's done. Both for
right,
the album.
I saw someone tweet. They just said... I just want to give Lady Gaga a hug. And I was like, you know what? That is so true. Like, that's, I just want to be like, oh, my Stephanie. Oh, come here, my little Stephanie. I'm just going to give you a hug.
I would, except if she's wearing that. She keeps wearing these like spiky chokers. And that
I don't even care.
I would cut me, but right in the eye. But, you know, otherwise, I totally agree. And I frankly think a lot of the criticism comes from deep-rooted Stan Wars and like not liking her. I've seen some, I think some of the negativity is like about her and not the music. Because right. If you just let go, I think it's...
Right, because if you look at this objectively, it is such a perfect pop. Like everything we love and yeah. praise on here as like a pop star, like what we want from pop stars, Chromatica delivered.
And I think I also think that it's because it's a full-on dance record that some people are mad that they don't get their piano ballads and shit like that, where it's like, this is not for you. This is not the album for you, and
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, go listen to Cheek to Cheek.
We've got Cheek
you,
to Cheek
you. Had
for
that
you.
Moment.
But
go on YouTube
anyway.
And type in Lady Gaga Chromatica piano cover. There's plenty.
There are, and inevitably she'll probably play some at home for us. Yeah. I would love to hear the Thousand Doves stream.
I wouldn't. I like it as the Jersey anthem that it is, but...
Well, in any case...
Anyway...
It is a well done for our Stephanie Germato. I am dying to find out if Wendy will comment on it.
She's off the air.
Is she?
Yeah, she's not doing... But she like wasn't feeling well or something.
Oh, no.
I know.
Well... Otherwise, I guess we're the ones commenting on it, and we think it's just great. Stephanie Germato's.
I can't wait. I'm going to listen to it the second I hang up with you.
What do we think that she's going to call it if she ever references it? Because she called art pop, pop art.
Oh, Wendy?
Yes. She can't say Chromatica. There's no way. She butchers every album title.
Ooh, I wonder what she would call it.
Have you heard this Chromatic?
She would call it Chromatic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm about to hang up and listen to it now, too.
Yeah, same. And hopefully you at home as well. Tweet
us. Yeah, we hope you liked it.
Tweet us and let us know what your favorite track is.
Exactly.
And so, next week, speaking of legends, you know, that's what we do here. You know, next week I'm feeling a little out of control.
Oh, are you feeling
Is it
not...
me? Do you want to get crazy?
Well, I don't give a...
Yes, everyone. We just got another moment coming next week. So pack your bags, go to Chromatica, come back next week. We'll see you then.
Amen.
Things
see you
are
soon.
About to, they're going from chromatic to bionic.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
All right. Well, I think that's all for this week, right?
I think so. This is more than enough. So everybody at home, we hope that you are staying safe, staying sane, and just getting through it like we are. Mm-hmm. And till next week, we will
see you
soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.